So I've been trying to get across to you, get you out of this thing about faith is about levels. And you know, most of the teaching, I'll probably do this in some of the Bible studies, is I shared it a little bit, is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We can learn from all scriptures, what it says, all scriptures profitable to us for, as a teaching, but not all scriptures written directly to you. And so most of the faith things where there's levels and great faith and little faith all comes out of the Gospels. And the Gospels are primarily written to the Jewish audience, and if you go look at it now, can we take truths out of it? Of course we can. But I'm going to show you that when they were saying great faith or believe and belief, and you know, I talked about this last week, is your unbelief does not stop God from moving. I know I'm in the minority in this, but I can't find one place in Scripture where they believed he was the Messiah. That's all he was asking them to believe at that time. Jesus goes, listen, if you can believe that I'm the Savior, I'm the Messiah. And then in Mark 9, where he said, listen, I believe that, help my unbelief. See, here's how most people teach it. And I love all these people, trust me, it's not a father-son relationship. That's what I'm trying to get across to you, is I would never treat my son that way and go, hey, son, increase your faith a little bit. Until you do that, I'm not moving. That's a jerk. That's a dad that, you know what, it's going to drive kids angry. Does that make sense? And I see a lot of that. When ministries don't look at him as a loving father, and it's all about your level of faith, it's very sharp, it's very condemning a lot of times. Like, maybe, what's wrong with me? Maybe I don't have enough. I go, there's nothing wrong with you. Is because you're thinking it's about you, that's why. So here's my point. That father said, I believe you're the Savior, because if you go look at it, even Paul, when he was converted from Saul to Paul, he believed he was the Christ. And that's what Peter said. Hey, when you believe I'm the anointed, I'm the Messiah, that's all he were asking them to believe in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They weren't even talking about sonship, that I'm going to show you. In fact, they crucified Jesus for calling him a son. Yet that's what he calls you now, your sons. Amen? You guys get it? So as long as they believed he was the Messiah, he goes, all things are possible to you. It wasn't your level of faith. So that, and here's what I want you to get. That father, when he goes, listen, I believe you're the Savior, help my unbelief, was his unbelief higher than his belief level if we're teaching how faith is normally taught? Yeah. But did he receive what he asked the Savior for? Always. That's what I want to show you. Your unbelief never stopped. As long as they believed he was the Savior, he was the anointed one, he was the Messiah, he was their coming king, everything that they're prophesying about, that's all they were asking them to believe in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In fact, even Paul, when he got saved, he immediately went to the synagogues and preached that Jesus was the Son of God. He didn't preach, I believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, now you're joint heirs. He didn't believe that. In fact, actually, he started to teach the Jews, because if the Jews would have said, you're the king, you're the one, guess what? He would establish his kingdom. But that didn't happen, did it? So he goes, hey, they tried, the Father tried with the prophets. John the Baptist said, listen, this is the guy, repent. Be baptized, and you're going to be saved. There was no death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus comes. He says, listen, I'm going to rise from the dead. And he sticks around 40 more days, doesn't he? 40 is always a period of testing. Amen? He goes, listen, if you don't believe me, there's going to be a spirit that's coming after me. That you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, there's nothing left for you. It's not, hey, if you're a believer, you cannot blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You can rest, okay? What he's talking about, those are all Jewish writings again. He said, listen, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit through Peter, Stephen, Paul, all of them, and they're going to say that I was the Christ, the one that you have been looking for. If you reject that, judgment's going to start in the house of God, not the church. What was the house of God? Jews, the temple. And so he gave them 40 more years to believe that, but 80, 70, the temple's destroyed. Judgment started at the temple, and the Jews were dispersed again. All he wanted to know is, if you believe I'm Savior, anything you ask, you're going to get. Mm-mm-mm. So it wasn't a level. I want you to get that, because that's just hurt so many people. I go, and I heard some, my friend Jeff goes, I wouldn't treat my wife that way. I wouldn't treat my kids that way. If you treat your family that way, I'm probably going to be talking to you, because your parents or your wife, your spouse, or somebody's going to come talk to me. And I go, hey, you know what? My husband said, when I asked him to fill in the gas in the gas tank, he looked at me and said, you don't have enough faith yet for that, honey. As soon as you have enough faith, then I'll move. Yet that's how we treat God, who moved when we were yet sinners, is what we just read. If he moved when you were yet sinners, how much more that now that you're justified, you can freely receive my life. It's not your level of faith. That's what I want you to get. Because you cannot find one person in Scripture that came to Jesus as Savior. go, Jesus, I see you that you can help me, that they didn't receive what they went for. When they saw him as a teacher or somebody to follow, are you really the guy? They didn't receive. But when they go, Jesus, save me, they always received. So it couldn't be their belief level. You guys get it? Then he does this crazy, wild thing called you and I, the body of Christ. That wasn't even predicted. That Paul was given that revelation, not immediately, because at first when he was saved, he went to the synagogue and preached that Christ is the Son. This is the Messiah we've been waiting for. Hey, Jews, wake up. This is the King. He didn't preach, hey, you're sons yet. You guys get it? But now I'm going to preach, you're a son. And he's a loving father, and that's our relationship with him today. You guys get it? So when you know that, when you see him as Savior, you can cry out, Jesus, save me in this situation. I don't care what your situation you're going through, whether it's a business thing, a financial thing, a marriage thing. Lord, I don't even know how to pray. Holy Spirit, you're going to pray through me, but save me here. And he will do it. Isn't that good news? He'll never go, you don't have enough faith, or you can have, and I know, guys, my father would not do that. A loving father would not treat me that way. If I had the ability to help him and I knew I could help him, I would help him. You guys get it? Okay, so let's go through this. So belief, if you go look at, hey, Lord, believe, help my belief. I believe, help my unbelief. What he's talking about is I believe you're the Savior. That's the only thing he was asking them to believe in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Do you believe I'm the Son of God? Do you believe I'm the Christ? Peter, who do you think I am? I believe you're the Christ. Ha, upon that revelation, I'm going to build my set apart ones, the church. That's not even us yet. That's not the body of Christ where we think Peter, he started the church. Ecclesia just means the called out ones. He goes, on this truth, I'm going to have this called out body of Jews that are set apart. Us, we're not in this play yet. But anyway, you don't have to believe that, but that's where everybody gets all confused. He's not all the level of faith, word of faith, you have to have enough. It all comes out of the Gospels and it's inaccurate. He goes, all I want you to believe is I'm the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. Amen? If you believe that, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Yeah, but Lord, I've got a little bit of unbelief. That's okay. I'm a loving father. I'm the one who never stops believing. You can ask me. You guys get it? I would rather have faith in him than my faith. And so I'm just trying to help some of you guys because you've been beat up by, maybe I don't have enough faith. No, you've got a mustard seed. That's all it needs. He's given you a measure more than a mustard seed. And by the way, faith, when you keep hearing that message that you're a son, you've got everything. When God the Father went to Jesus and said, this is my beloved son. In him I'm well pleased. What does that make you now? You're his beloved son and he's well pleased with you despite your nonsense. I don't care what sin, what nonsense you're going through. You're his beloved son and he'll never disappoint the Father because you're hidden in him. Your life is now him. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. That just takes the pressure off. Amen. And I believe when you can get a rest for your conscience, you can rest for your mind, will, and emotions, that his ideas, things start to flow. He goes, keep your eyes on me, the author and finisher of your faith. Not, hey, go pray and fast to build your faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. When you believe the right things, you'll believe in Jesus. You'll believe that he can get you out of that situation. You'll believe he can bless you supernaturally. In fact, next Sunday, I think I'm going to teach that. What is a spiritual blessing? It's not, woo, I feel the Spirit flowing. It's not that. I know that you'd like to believe that, but I've seen people falling down around me my whole life, and I see them 2 weeks later, and their life's a mess. I go, so that obviously wasn't it. Whatever you just went through, that didn't help you. Does that make sense? In fact, I think you're going to scare the new believer off. They're the ones falling down in drug addictions, everything else. I can put my arm around them and go, man, you're the beloved son. He's so well pleased with you. Amen? Now they can get a rest for their conscience, and his life can start flowing through their soul, their mind, will, and emotions. That's the gospel. It's the power's in that. I'm not against, hey, if they need healing, pray for them, because you have influence with the Father. You guys get it? Okay. So your belief is not about your level, how much you have. It's believe, hey, I'm a son, because this is the new covenant's all about that. So let's go through this scripturally. So John 1, remember, these are written primarily to Jewish believers when you go through this. Can we take truths out of it? Of course we can, because that's what it says. All scripture is good for doctrine, teaching, and correct teaching, change different teaching. Doctrine, reproof, and correction is what it says. All scripture is that. Amen? But how many of you guys know that he deals with different people at different times? There's different covenants. How did he deal with Noah? How was Noah going to be saved? Get in the ark. Are you guys getting in the ark today to get saved? That proves that he's dealing with this at different times in different ways. Does that make sense? Nobody's out there building an ark. Well, why not? If all of it's the same, if we can just read it all the same, we can learn from it. That actually, the spirit of Jesus, that was a picture of Jesus. Hey, if you're in him, guess what? The ark's door was open 7 more days. The tribulation, they're going to have 7 more years to get in. Amen? But after that, he shuts the door. It's a picture of Jesus is what it was. So anyway, he deals with us differently than the Jews, the church, and the Gentiles are all different. Now, he deals with us as sons now very differently than even what he's dealing with them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's what I want you to get in this. So let's talk about this belief thing, this faith thing. John 1:11, he came to his own. Who are his own? The Jews, right? In fact, John 20, I think it is, he said, listen, all these things I wrote in John was that you may believe he's the Christ. Not death, burial, and resurrection that you're a son. That comes later. That comes Paul's revelation. You guys get it? Go look at it. All he wants them to believe is this is the Messiah. And I'm going to give the Jews 40 years to figure this out. If not, then I'm going to the Gentiles. Thank God, because we got a really good deal. We do. We're not subjects of the king. We're joint heirs. We're sons. It's such a wild deal. We're supposed to have it better, actually. Amen? Hallelujah. So I don't know what it's going to look like when all the Jews come in, because it says, listen, if the partial thing, if we're an enemy for our sake and we get it good, how much more their fullness? So I'm like, thank you, Father. Once all the Jews are saved, and it's like we're going to have it really good, is what it says. So he came to his own, the Jewish people, and his own did not receive him. But some people are going to receive him. Some of the Jews did. That small ecclesia, that small called out ones. Hey, Peter said, upon this, I believe you're the Christ. That's all he was asking them to believe. And Jesus said, upon that revelation, upon that rock, that truth, I'm going to build my called out ones of the Jewish people, the church. It's not us, the body of Christ yet. There was no concept of the body of Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's what I want you to get. It's not a salvation issue, but don't worry about it. You can't read Matthew as like, I have to have enough belief in order to... No, everybody that had a minuscule that he's the Savior, that he was the Christ, received. Now guess what? If we're one with him and we ask him for something we already own, don't you think he's going to give it to you? Amen? If I own something, I don't have to have enough level of faith to know that I can have it. I have a knowledge that it's mine. So that's what I'm trying to get you. You're joint heirs. It's yours. So when you ask the Father for anything his redemption covered, your prosperity, your divine health, your joy, your clarity of mind, he goes, I will give it to you because it's already yours. Amen? So spiritual means it can't be corrupted. It's forever. It's supernatural, actually. I'm excited to teach next week, but I'll leave you at that. So spiritual blessings are really amazing. They mean they can't be corrupted. They're supernatural. They're yours. Hallelujah. And he's blessed you with every one of them. So, but as many as received him, as death, burial, and resurrection? No. They believed who he was. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Now I'm going to show you, this is exactly what they crucified Jesus for. You call yourself a child of God, not a servant, a subject, a worshiper, a disciple? No, I call myself son. Blasphemy. That makes you equal with God. Hallelujah. Guess what? You're a joint heir. You're back in the Godhead. You're in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's your family relationship again. Wow. So, but as many as received him, they became children to those who believe in his name. What was his name? Yahweh saves. When you believe he saves, guess what? That's all he was requiring in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll receive everything. Hallelujah. So, who were born not of blood. They weren't Jewish by blood. They wasn't by the will of the flesh, by their ability to follow the law, my willpower, my this, my that. But what were they born of? God himself. So when you are born from a revelation that you're his son, it's a spiritual birth. Amen? So everyone that believed were made children. And this is where I know it sounds like blasphemy to you guys. Guys, you're so much more than a disciple. You're so much more than a servant. You're so much more than a worshiper. We're called to worship God. No, we're called to be sons and to be ambassadors of reconciliation. We're supposed to go to the world and go, he's forgiven everything. You can have sonship for free. Isn't that cool? That's really cool to me. So you are children. It's such a higher place than a, pick one, I don't really care. But I was taught that. Hey, you know what? You better get on your knees and worship him. I do it because he's awesome. And I love him. because he first loved me. I don't boast in my love for him. Gosh, that can waver, can it? Where are you, God? I think we've all been in those places. Lord, you must not love me anymore. We do goofy things, don't we? And he goes, my love never fails. Don't worry. I never sleep nor slumber. I never change. My love for you will never change. No matter what you did or what you're going through, I will always prosper you. I'll always favor you. You're a son. I like that. So belief, what he's talking about here is, do you believe he's the Messiah? Not your level. You guys get it? Okay, let's keep going. I'm going to show you this, that what I'm preaching you, this is what they crucified Jesus for. It's calling you a son. Amen? So here's Jesus, John 10:30. I and my Father are one. Get a hold of that one. You're in him. What does that make you? You're one family. You're one. You have oneness with God. He's breaking down the partition. You can go boldly to the throne, as he was telling the Hebrews. He's got a new and living way. You can go right into the presence of the Lord. You don't need a high priest anymore. You got Jesus forever. You can go straight into his presence at any time. And he never leaves us or forsakes us. We don't have to pray for the anointing. We are in the anointing. Yes. See, when you carry that revelation, I don't need to worry about, man, I need to pray for somebody. Oh, I need it fast. No, I'm in the anointing. I can't lose it. Amen. You can't lose it. Now, good? You're in him. You and the Father are one, because isn't that what it says? So, then the Jews then the Christian theologians took up stones to stone me. Same thing. The Jews took up stones to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which one of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for good work we're not stoning you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. How did he make himself God? So he said, me and my Father are one. Now watch Jesus' response. I love this. Jesus answers them, is it not written in your law? This is Psalm 82, if you want to go look it up. It says, all the foundations are out of the place. The original foundation is we are one family with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He's made us kids, a loving family. Amen? But that, I made you Elohims is what it says, little g, not big G. So I'm not saying you can work yourself into a trance and pray and fast until you think you're God. That's called craziness. Amen? But what he says is, I've made you a joint heir with me. That's how I've traded you from the beginning. But that foundation is out of place. So he's quoting Psalm 82. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, Psalm 82, I said ye are Elohims, you are gods. Go look it up. Some of you guys don't believe me. I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, is it really say that? Now check this out. And Jesus says, that can't be broken. If he called them gods, if the Father called them God, unto the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. That truth is truth. Do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you're blaspheming because I said I'm only the Son? He goes, your own law says you are God's. I'm just saying I'm the Son of God and you want to stone me? Isn't that awesome? Guess what? You're sons. And actually, this is there's some other verses I can't get through today, but it's Jesus said this, Lord, I've manifested your name to them. They knew him as El Shaddai. They knew him as Jehovah Jireh. They knew him as Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha. They knew all these names. What did Jesus manifest? What new name did Jesus manifest to the disciples? Abba, Father, Daddy. You're a son. It's the exact same thing they're going to crucify me for. That's how I'm revealing. That's how he looks at you, as sons. Isn't that different than have enough faith in El Shaddai? See, I have enough faith in El Shaddai because I know he's my dad. My dad is El Shaddai, and your dad is El Shaddai. So guess what? That makes us serious butt kickers in the world. Not anything I did, but I can be confident in that. Amen? I'm just telling you, that's real, guys, is you can be shaking in your bones, but guess what? In your weakness, his strength will be perfected in you. Amen? If you have faith in the mustard seed, you can say, hey, my dad's this. He'll get me out of this situation because he's El Shaddai. Amen? And he's my dad, and he loves me unconditionally. He doesn't go, hey, you made that mess, now you get yourself out of it. Tough love. Man, I loved you so much when you were a sinner, I died. How much more will I freely give you that now that I'm alive? Yeah. Hallelujah, amen? That's how you get out of stuff. So, how many guys ever need to get out of stuff? Me, all the time. Thank you, Father, for saving me from this mess that I am. That's called faith. It's a bold faith because I'm not bragging in who I am. I'm bragging in what he did for me and what I'm in. My Father and I are one now. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that good? So here's what he's saying. Why are you saying I'm blaspheming just because I said I'm a son? Your own law, if you would understand it, says you're little Elohims. You everything was for free, but you boasted in yourself that I can do it, so I'm going to give you the law to show you can't do it. That's where that all came from. But up until then, he goes, I'm going to do it because I said I was going to do it. Your kids of promise. You guys getting something out of this? Okay, let's keep going. Romans 8. I'm just going to show you from Paul's revelation now. His first revelation is, do you believe he's the Christ? Immediately when he believed that, he went into the world. No, he went into the synagogue and preached to them that this is the Messiah. That's all he wanted them to believe at that time. They rejected him. It's what the very end of Acts, it says. You see Peter, hey, they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Peter got up and spoke in the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Stephen spoke in the Holy Spirit. He gave them 40 total years of testing. The Jews rejected him. So guess what? Now I'm going to go on this different program that was a mystery hidden until Paul, this crazy thing called sonship in the body of Christ. This is why you can have assurance, guys. I know everybody's studying the Shemitah and the moons and everything. I go, yeah, it's a bright moon. I get it. But I'm his body. You think he's going to make his body go through hell again when he already did it? We're saved, guys. We're saved from wrath. There's nothing to worry about as far as the rapture or anything else. That's the most amazing thing we're going to experience. If he saved us when we were sinners, why would he make his body go through the tribulation again? Does it make any sense to you? It's like a marriage. He goes, listen, I'm going to wash my body, protect it, do everything for it because it's part of me. I'm going to take care of it. Hallelujah, amen. So do I believe we're in the last days? Yes, they believe they're in the last days 2,000 years ago, so I'm pretty sure we're in the closer to the last days. I do. I believe we're early on the third day, and I believe he's going to come back early on the third day. But until then, let's just go kick butt in life, amen? Well, the stock market's going to crash. Yeah, but I become richer. The darker and darker it gets, guess what? We shine more and more, amen? Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying if you're in that industry, you shouldn't look at it, et cetera, but here's the... I was telling somebody, I can't remember what it was, everybody's like, this is going to happen and this and the judgment of the USA. All judgment's been placed on Jesus. Amen. It has. Sorry. It has. He's not mad at us. Amen? Amen? He's not. He's really not. He goes, I love you so much, I'm going to save you from the coming wrath. So it's good news for us. Hey, the darker it gets, the more pumped up we get. I've been hearing this since I became a believer. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. But then we're freaking out. Oh God, the wicked are going to lose their money because of the stock market. Praise God. It's like, which plant am I on? Hey, you need to plant some seeds and order some containers of food. And I'm his son. I'm not Solomon, you need to prepare. Start planting your garden. Be like, Dad, but the fridge's full. I know, but you don't have enough faith, man. Get over there. I'm irritated about you. You're not cleaning up your room anymore. See how goofy how we're treating God? He's a father. He's a father. Now, is he the lion? Is he full of wrath at the end? Yes, but you're his body. You're in the protected. You're in the ark. You're all the pictures of Jesus. You're in him. You're saved from wrath. Hallelujah. And you don't have to believe that, but it's much more peaceful, trust me. Amen? So, would a loving father treat his son that way? If the loving father knows exactly what you need to be fed, to be protected, to do everything, wouldn't he take care of you if he really loves you? Yes, he would. So let's see at this. Romans 8, for you did not receive a spirit of again to fear. Spirit, I get it, because spiritual things we can't see. But it's about mind, will, and emotions, about what our heart, what we believe, etc. Does that make sense? It's not necessarily falling down. Some people do sometimes because the presence is, I get it. But it's when he's revealing who he is, his goodness, his mercy, his love for you. It's like overwhelming. It starts to move you and you can feel the tangible spirit. But the spirit literally means something that influences you, your mind, will, and emotions. When you believe something to your core, it'll create an influence on you. It'll move you. Does that make sense? So we don't have to have a spirit of fear again of wrath, of judgment, that he's mad at us because we've sinned. Does that make that pretty clear? What's our spirit? He's going to show us. We didn't receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, where we didn't follow the law good enough, so now we have to fear judgment. That's what he's talking about here. Okay? But, what's but mean? Something else. But you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. Hey, fathers, grandparents, you know what this means. I told Barbara, I said, the minute I have kids, I get this more and more. Grandparents, I heard it's really even better, like you lose your mind. Yeah, it's, right? So everybody tells me, like, I said, how's it like to be a grandparent? Oh, you lose your mind. So everybody tells me. Rose, you make them plant gardens and prepare for the wrath. And if you have something in your fridge, you're going to give it to them. That's a loving father. It's a loving relationship. Does that make sense? You make them have a level of faith before you feed them? What do they call you? What do they call you? Nana? You go, nah, you got some, your unbelief level's higher than your unbelief. You better get in the word more. Get that in you. How many guys had a lot in you when he died for you? You were his enemy is what it said. Rarely will somebody even die for their enemy, but hey, you were ungodly. I died for you. How much more than I'm alive am I going to take care of you? See me as a loving father. That's what he's telling you through all this. Does that make sense? So we don't have a spirit of judgment again. We don't have to be fearful that God's mad at us. He goes, the spirit I want to give, what I want you to move your emotions with is know that I'm daddy and I will take care of you. That's the spirit he wants us to receive now. The spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are in the family, children of God. Not servants, not worshipers, not disciples. We're children. Hallelujah. My children don't have to earn what's already theirs. It's an impossibility. They're heirs. They're joint heirs. They're in the family. Amen? So, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified. Now, I want you to share some of this. That doesn't mean you have to suffer. What he's saying is this is identification. When you realize his suffering was your suffering, his death was your death, when you realize he was you when he did that, he became your substitute. When you realize that we've suffered with him, then how much more will we glorified together? Not only was he your death, burial, and resurrection, he's your life. You get it? Hallelujah, man. That's exciting. Well, you just got to suffer for God. Well, Jesus did it. I'm not saying there's not going to be hardships on earth. They're all the time, but what are we supposed to do? Rejoice. He's overcome. Amen? Hey, this is brutal. Did it look like all hell had won when Jesus died? What actually happened? Was he one step ahead of the enemy or was he one step ahead of the enemy? He used that to bring about the most glorious thing in the world. So I don't care what hardship you're going for, all things will work together for you. They will. Amen? Did he make that work out together for all of us? He will make the same thing happen. Now, do we screw up and we get into situations that he probably didn't want us to be in? Yes. Yes. But are we supposed to condemn ourselves over it? No. We don't have a spirit of fear and judgment. We have a spirit of, man, he's going to get me out of this. Now, here's what will happen is when you realize that he gets you out of it, ultimately you're going to end up better than what you did because he's the deliverer, he's the restorer, he's the redeemer, he's all of that. Amen? Guess what? You'll avoid some of those things in the future. You will be chastised. You'll learn. It'll be child training is what it says. It's not, Arnold, let me chastise you with the whip. Then Jesus shouldn't have gotten whipped if he's going to whip me. It's called double jeopardy. It doesn't make any sense. If he judged my mistake on Jesus, then why is he going to judge me? We don't have that spirit. We have a spirit of my dad's going to get me out of this. Now, next time around, I'll have a little more wisdom. I'm not saying, that's what I'm saying. I'm not telling you to go make mistakes. Well, I'm telling you, have a spirit of daddy. He's going to get me out of this. You guys get it? Okay. Hallelujah. All right. Galatians, then we'll finish up. I just want to give you a couple examples. Galatians 4:3. Even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. Here's what he's saying. This isn't the children of God here. What he's saying is when you were still infants, like I don't give my car keys to Bear yet because Bear is fired up about life. And Bear will drive through my neighbor's yard or something. He's just what he will do. Because he enjoys life. He's still a child. He hasn't put aside childish ways yet. Does that make sense? So that's what he's saying here. Hey, even though he owns everything, I still don't give him everything. He still needs some guidelines. You guys understand that? So, even when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. What are the elements is he talking about? The law here is what he's saying. Hey, you need to do this, don't do that. Okay? So, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. What does redeem mean? Buy them back. Hey, you can't do this. Not one of you could do it. No, not one. Romans, the first few books, Romans 1, 2, 3, proves to you that everybody's guilty. You couldn't do the law good enough. Now, if one was able to do the law good enough, would you be saved through it? Yeah. But if you miss one, you're guilty of it all. I'm pretty sure you all missed one this morning. Hey, nice try is what he said. Once you realize you can't do it, you cry out, Abba, save me. Ah, now I'll do it. Okay? So, who were born under the law to redeem every one of us that we weren't even under the law, the Jews were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as what? Good little servants. Sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son in your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. See what Paul keeps telling you? Hey, you don't have a spirit that you have to worry about God anymore. He loves you unconditionally. He's your dad. He's going to, anything you need, he's going to provide. Amen? Because he loves you unconditionally. We don't have to have a spirit of he's judging me anymore. I wonder if I have enough faith. No, my spirit in me cries out, Daddy. That's what he wants. I'm not saying I'm perfect. God, I mess that up all the time. But I'm saying that's what he wants us to have. You guys understand that? Trust me, I'm not preaching at you. I'm like talking to myself. My friend Theron Nelson calls it stage therapy. I go, I get it. I get it. Sometimes I'm like, but Lord, I needed to hear that. Amen? So, I'm not like, man, if you had the faith I had, my love of God, you'd have my life. I'm going, that'd be a disaster. So, when you just know he's daddy, he'll take care of you. He'll honor you. He'll bless you. He'll supernatural touch you. Guys, the reason some people aren't seeing it, a lot of that is because they're still thinking they have a spirit of fear. They're under the law. I wasn't good enough. I didn't earn this thing. I'm still struggling with this addiction. I'm still struggling with this. I'm doing this. He goes, no, you don't have that spirit anymore. The spirit I put in you is, Abba, Father, save me. Not only that, if his suffering was our suffering, that means there's nothing to suffer for ever again. No judgment ever again. His life is also our life. We can be glorified with him. We can ask for his glorification. That's where I see most of the church, they stop at that. And even then, they don't believe. They still think they are still under this condemnation and guilt. But I go, if guilt and shame, if his death was good enough to remove all of that, how much more, now that he rose from the dead, can you enjoy his life? Well, I'm just a lowly servant. That's your problem. You're supposed to have a spirit of sonship. I'm a joint heir. If we are sons, we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. As Jesus is, even so are we. Is he, I don't care if you've been diagnosed with anything, is he worried about not being healed? No. You don't need to worry about it. He'll heal you. Amen? Because as he is, so am I. There's a rest for your conscience, isn't it? Hey, what's God put on your heart? It's hopefully something big. Not to please him. Like, if I do this, I'm going to be pleasing to him. He goes, no, I know. I've designed you. I'm your creator. I know what's going to make you tick. I'm going to put a thing in your heart. Just know I'll do it for you. Just trust me. I'm your dad. When we tell our kids that, isn't that what we're expecting to do? Sulin, hey, trust me. I'm your mom. Trust me. That's what he's saying. Trust me. I'm your dad. I will do that for you. Amen? And I don't care what it looks like along the way. Trust him. He'll do it. Praise God. Man, that saved me from so many different nonsense things. I'd be in a crazy place. Thank you, Father, that all things work together for my good. Thank you, Father, not God. He is God, but he's my dad. He's the baddest dude on the planet, man. Amen? I know Brock Lesnar thinks he is, but my dad is. So, right, Ramiko? Hey, by the way, when's your fight? See, Chad, we should view that as a men's deal. Hey, can we get group tickets? We know the guy fighting. Can we? Yeah? Because you're the main event, right? Hallelujah, let's do it. You can come too. Ladies, let me tell you something though. You're going to hear things that you... You're going to hear things and see things and do things that, yes, when you don't watch. I told Rumiko, I go, man, I must be getting wimpy in my old age, because the first fight I went to, I wanted front seat, but this is what you hear. I'm like, I know how much that hurts. Guys, if you've ever been in a fight, you know how much that hurts. I'm like, I don't want to hear that anymore. I want, like, kind of the nosebleeds where I can watch it on the big screen. So I don't hear all this stuff. No, we should do it. Ladies, you're more than welcome. I'm just, it's full-on testosterone is what this thing is. So September 12th, right? And hey, women, if you're worried, I will drive. I'll be like the responsible ones. Especially anybody's wrestling, huh? I remember Royce went to that. They get all amped up and they want to tear their shirt off and go fight. And Dave, you'd be the same way. You want to just go destroy somebody. No, that's... Somebody's got to keep, ladies, I'll try to keep the sanity, okay? So some of you guys there would actually be good, because we saw testosterone and we just think we're bad. Hey, our dad's bad. He's bad to the bone. He's our daddy. He will take care of this thing for you. He will prosper you supernaturally, amen? That's what supernatural blessing is. It goes, it's supernatural. You don't have to earn it. It comes, emanates from the Spirit is what it said. Hallelujah. That means when you walk into a business deal, it emanates. Stuff will just happen for you. And he'll sift out the stuff that's not supposed to happen. Hallelujah. Because you're no longer a slave. You're no longer a servant. You're no longer just a worshiper. Now, do we worship him? Yes. But it's out of abundance, knowing what he's done for me. I'm not worshiping him to get him to move. I'm worshiping him because I know he moved. Man, you've made me your son, a joint heir. How can I not worship you and thank you? And God, you're so good. Amen? Fathers, again, just think about this. When we can tell when our kids really, mothers, the same thing. When our kids come to us, go, Dad, you're awesome. What does that do to us? Man, you're awesome, Bear. Do you want some more Legos? What do you want? When it's genuine. Amen? When it's like, hey, Dad, what are you doing with this? What do you want? But when it's from the heart, Dad, I love you, man. Mom, I love you. You're so awesome. You're the best mom on the planet. What does mom want to do? No, have some more faith. Get your unbelief level up. Oh, that's goofy. It's goofy. Man, he goes, I want to shower my blessing on you. Get it? That's how he sees you. All right, let's finish this up. Okay, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, this old covenant, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondwoman, the other by the free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, self-effort. He was born Jewish. I know it doesn't sit right, Ishmael. But even Christians can be Ishmaels. If we think we have to earn everything because of our obedience, because of our works, our willpower, we're an Ishmael. Okay? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bond woman, the other by the free woman. But he who was of the bond woman was born according to our flesh, our self-effort, and he of the free woman through, I promise I will do this for you. Hallelujah. So, which things are symbolic? The free woman and the slave woman. For these are the two covenants. Which one are we under now? The new one, one from Mount Sinai, the law which gives birth to bondage. You're not under that spirit anymore that brings bondage. You're under the spirit of Abraham's my dad. Isaac said, Dad, I can have it because it's mine, because I'm an heir. That's our spirit. You guys get it? So, for this Hagar's Mount Sinai in Arabian corresponds to Jerusalem, which is now the earthly Jerusalem, as in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, where we are right now, is what? Is the mother of us all. That's our real parent, okay? For it is written, rejoice, O barren, ye did not bear. This is Isaiah 54, what he's quoting here. For it is written, rejoice, O barren. Who was the barren one? Sarah. She couldn't produce in self-effort, right? You who do not bear, break forth and shout. Wait a minute, what? I'm not bearing anything. Break forth and shout, why? For you who are not in labor, it's not about your hard work. Hallelujah. Hey, the desolate has a ton of children and she's worked her tail off for it. It's been painful labor. It's been painful toil. That's what that labor is. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and sweat blood to redeem us from labor. Hallelujah. The desolate has many more children. Man, she's been laboring like nonstop. You guys get it? It's an analogy here. Then who has a husband? Hey, Sarah had a husband, and I promise you're going to have a lot of blessings. You don't have to labor for it. In fact, the Hagar has been working, laboring, yet she's can't inherit anything. It's a promise that he's going to make you a son. Amen? Okay, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, we are children of God. Promises you're going to be my children, you're going to be my joint heirs. It's a promise. Will he break his promise? No, doesn't that give you more confidence than if you have enough faith in that promise? Faith is just, I believe what he said. So, but as he was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Religious people don't like this message because they want to boast in their labor. I had a pastor tell me, Mike, don't make me pull spiritual rank on you. I do this 8 hours a day. I almost went Romico on him. I wasn't too far away from beer drinking rugby days at that point. I go, I'm going to kill you. Never. I repented. I still wanted to beat him. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the old law and her son, for the son of the bondwoman can, I don't care how hard you work for it, you can't be an heir. You cannot earn what he's already been earned for you. Amen? The son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. What was the son of the free woman? I promise you're going to be my sons, and this is what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. So then, brethren, we are not children that have to work for our stuff, but it's free. Woo! That's good. I don't know. I just get excited. Sorry. That's exciting to me. Lord, come on, man. Yankees are struggling. Throw me a bone. This is Toronto Blue Jays stuff. Who are those uncircumcised Philistines? I don't think he really cares about that. I think the players, if they understood who they were in Christ, amen. You know what I'm saying? Not saying they do, but pretty sure he owns the suite at Yankee Stadium. I'm a joint heir, so that means I'm in there. You are. Isn't he fun? He's fun to me. He actually is fun. I know it sounds like blasphemy. He's God. He created all that stuff for our enjoyment. Amen? He created hot dogs. Like Chad said, we'll pray over them. They'll be gluten-free. You can actually eat one. So you're free to receive everything that Jesus has earned for you. You're a son. See him as a father. It's not about your faith level, guys. It's just not. The Gentile people who came to Jesus and says, I know we're not even in the covenant. We don't deserve anything. Yet the Syrophoenician woman said, yeah, but you know what? Even the puppies, the dogs, get the scraps from the king's table. Man, you don't deserve it, but you know I'll give it to you. That's great faith. I have not seen this kind of faith in Israel when he said to the centurion. Why? Because none of those guys deserved it. Amen? The Samaritan woman's another one. He went to her. He went to her. He goes, I must needs go to Samaria and save these us people, Gentiles. Hallelujah. It wasn't her level of faith. He says, hey, if you knew the one, Lord, I believe that. Ah, now you can have a well that never stops. Hallelujah. Amen. So we don't have a spirit of fear and judgment. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to labor for it, guys. Know that you're his son. He loves you. In you, you're his beloved son, and he's well pleased with you. That's what you need to tell yourself in your darkest, deepest, most struggling times, whether it's your marriage, your business, your finances. Wait a minute. I'm his beloved son, and he's well pleased with me. I'm free to inherit. Amen. And you ask, he goes, I've answered before you even ask. So we don't have a spirit of fear and judgment where I don't qualify, I don't earn it. You can't earn what he's already freely given. You're going to labor, but you can't inherit. Just finally go, thank you, Father, this is who I am. I'm a joint heir, I'm a son. So your freedom from guilt and condemnation, that's number one. You don't have a spirit of fear and judgment. What's your spirit cry out? Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, Daddy God. He's my dad. And you have that spirit that you're a joint heir. He'll never judge you ever again for your actions. You don't have that spirit. You have divine health. Did he purchase that for you? Are you one with Christ? Does he have divine health? Then you can ask and freely receive that. And you're not asking to get him to move. That's why I work with a lot of people on where I get it. Your symptoms in your body, they're lying to you. They're screaming at you. They're going, I feel like crap. This is what's happening. And I know where to face it. Ignore that. Yeah, I'd like to, but it hurts. See, I believe your emotions are real. I don't believe you ignore them. Your mind, will, and emotions is the holy place. What I think they're there for is to go, wait a minute, I'm believing the wrong thing. Let's get my mind on Jesus, that he will always heal every disease, is what Psalm 103, until a different emotion starts to rise. That's where the rest comes. Not, just ignore that. My dad, Solomon, Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have some food? No, you're not. Ignore that. Put that flesh down. See, I just don't agree with all that kind of teaching. I just don't. I believe I'm a loving father. Man, you're hungry? Oh, yeah. Let me help you out. That's what I believe that. Amen? So, hey, if you need divine health, you're not praying for him to heal you, knowing that he already has healed you despite the symptoms, despite what you see. He sits out of time. He goes, forget not all my benefits. I've forgiven you every iniquity, and I've healed every disease. Hallelujah. Now I can rest a little bit. You mean he's not judging me because I went and got this doctor's? No. But just know, watch your mental pictures, what you're playing in your mind. Even though you have these symptoms, the doctor's reports are this, keep your eyes on him. He's promised me he'll already heal me, and he has healed me. He's promised he's already prospered me, and I have abundance. I have it because I'm his son. I'm a joint heir. You guys get it? That will produce a different emotion, not just stop. Some of you guys, if you grew up like that, you know what I'm talking about. Well, Arnold, that's just not real. Just ignore that. That's not how my father would treat me. If I came to him, Dad, man, I'm struggling with this. No, just ignore that. That's not real. If you had more faith, man, this is what he was. The reason he's not doing this is he don't have enough faith. That's not a cool dad to me. A cool dad would put his arm around me and go, man, I'm not a high priest that doesn't understand what you're going through. I went through it all. And here's the good news. I overcame it. You might fall occasionally, but I overcame it. So just rest in me. I'm your eternal high priest. Amen? You're one with me now. Every blessing I earn for you is freely yours. Just know, hey, I know these body. This is what's your finances. I know all that stuff. I get it. I get you're a little nervous. You guys know what I'm trying to tell you? Is you can't psych yourself out of that emotion. You have to replace it with a different thing. Lord, you love me, and you're going to take care of this. That'll produce a different emotion. Now it can flow through the holy place. The Spirit is perfected. It needs to go through your mind, will, and emotions to touch the outer court. Everything you see out here. Okay? You guys get it? Okay, so we'll leave you with this. You're a joint heir. What does that mean? If Jesus was in your business deal, what would that look like? You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Amen? Now, does it look perfect all the time? None of the deals I've been in. But if we keep our eyes on him, he goes, you know what? You're my son. Supernatural favor. I'm going to protect you, prosper you, do everything for you. Amen? All things will work out together for your good. Isn't that reassuring? You can cry out, Abba, Father. Before you've asked, he's answered. Amen? All right. Hope that made something to you. So you can rise to your feet. I hope that made sense. Red, you and I are tight then, right? I don't know. I just see him as my dad. I see him as my dad. He is God Almighty. He's El Shaddai. But more importantly, Jesus said, I've revealed this new name to him, Daddy. You can call me Dad. The exact same thing the religious people want to kill you for is what he goes, that's what I came for, to make you one with me. Amen? Isn't that good news? So, hey, how do you become a believer? How do you believe a Christian? Simple. Here's what he wants you to know. He wants you to know there's a new covenant out there. Amen? If we went out on the street and go, how would you get saved? And they'll always, natural things, they'll start talking about, well, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. And it's all about earning it again. And he goes, you know what? Christianity is the only thing that's not a... I've heard this for forever, but I didn't understand it. Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. You guys have heard that. The next question then is, well, what kind? Father, Son. Father, Son. Amen. It's not God and subject, God and servant, God and worshiper. In fact, Jesus said, unless you let me serve you, you won't partake of everything I'm doing. If you think you have to serve me, you'll never enjoy me. I'm the servant. I'm going to take my girdle off and kneel down at your feet and wash your feet. Because you're my body. You're part of me. Amen? Now, what does that make us do? It makes us want to serve him. But it's not out of guilt. Hey, we're a church and you need to volunteer and serve more and then he's going to be more happy with you. No. Service should be, Lord, I just love you. I enjoy cleaning toilets at the church. I do. This sounds goofy. I do. I go, Lord, I'm such a knucklehead, and you bless me. At least I can do this for you. I enjoy it. I actually do. My kids don't, because we make them come with us and clean the church. But, Dad, why do we do it all the time? You guys too. I'm not even. I go, hey, you know what? Because we love him because of what he did for us. It's a relationship, guys. So Jesus came down. See, every Christianity is this. I know who you are. I've known everything you've ever done. I know what you're doing right now, and I know what's in your mind that you're going to do that's against me. Yet, I see you as perfect and righteous. I died for you so you never have to die because of your own mistakes. And not only that, I went to hell for you so you never have to go there. But not only that, I rose. I conquered death. Now you can freely have my life, my blessing, my divine protection. You can have rest for your conscience. When you believe that, you're born into the family. You're a Christian. If you get nervous about that, because I did, because I thought Christians were boring and no fun, and they probably don't even watch rugby games or something like that. That's no fun. Then when I found out, God's actually cool. He's actually really fun. Amen? That's what we need to share with people. Hey, he's not mad at you. He's so well pleased with you. He's pleased with you because Jesus conquered all of that. Now you're in him. Amen? You guys get it? So here's what I want you to do. We're going to finish with prayer here, but cry out to him, Daddy. You can do it in your spirit if you don't want to hear people right here, if they don't want to, but cry out to him. If there's something you're struggling with, we have a spirit where we can go, Father, and here's the confidence we have. He hears us, and he says yes to that petition. If it's covered by redemption, it's yours. Does that make sense to you guys? What's covered by redemption? Everything that was lost at the fall. Your divine health, your divine protection, provision, joy, peace in your family, peace in your, all of that. Oneness, this love in a family, it's yours. Lord, I don't even know how to do this thing. Cry out to him. Dad, you know how. Intervene. And he will do it. Now, good news? So let's just pray. Father, we love you. We magnify you. Oh, we're so thankful that Jesus took down that spirit of fear. We don't ever have to worry about being judged. We don't have to worry about condemned. He introduced us to you, the loving Father. And we can cry, Daddy. So, Father, I thank you. Whatever these people are struggling with, if they need joy, you've given it to them. You've said, yes, let me take away their shame, their depressions, their mental illnesses. Let me give them my mind for free. Let them give me my peace, my shalom for free. Father, I thank you that you've blessed us with every spiritual blessing. That means supernatural. Things that we could never expect, you've already said are ours. So, Father, I thank you for supernatural business deals. I thank you for supernatural investment deals. I thank you for supernatural wisdom on some of these people, some of their ideas, their inventions. That's who you are. You're Dad. You're the ones that put them there. I thank you for those, that they come forth because of what Jesus has done. Father, I thank you for any provision. You've already said yes. You've provided everything, Father. I thank you. As Doug goes through this course, Father, just show people their massive inheritance. Their massive inheritance in you. That not only did you die, you gave them your life as your inheritance. So we thank you for that. Father, we just call their families whole. We call their marriages whole. We just thank you that you loved us that much, that you died for us, and now we can freely say, Daddy, Father, and receive everything we ever need. In Jesus' magnificent name, amen, amen, amen. You're released in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.